let's turn to the Word of God. We're going to think a little bit about the theme of kindness and patience. We started off with a video that was a song by Mattis Yahu, who was an Orthodox religious Jewish rapper called One Day, and that brilliant video by Life Vest of the kind of joys of paying it forward. You know, you do a good deed and you pay it on to the next person, and it just comes around and all of that. So, which is a great idea. Kirsten Johnson, who was with us this morning, said that at school they use it in assemblies a lot, and it's a great message, isn't it? It's a great message. Kindness is a wonderful thing to show to other people. And we're going to think about that, particularly from the perspective of being people who follow Jesus. It's a very powerful word, doesn't it? Kindness and goodness. But kindness and goodness can be things that cause a lot of confusion in us as well. And what I thought we would do is we'd look at a couple of passages this morning to help us think through how we show forth the fruit of kindness and goodness. So our first passage is from the book of Acts. So I'm going to read this and then just draw something from it, and then a few other passages will follow as well. So this comes from Acts chapter 14, and it's a story about Barnabas and Paul. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He's shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. So, a couple of things come straight out of that. Paul talks very directly about the kindness of God, providing everything that we have, everything in creation has been provided for us to care for and to use well to his praise and glory. That's a kind of fundamental aspect of human existence. Everything in creation is made by God and given to us out of God's kindness to us. But that's not the point of this passage. Do you see what happens here? Barnabas and Paul do some good in the community. They heal a lame man. A wonderful thing. God bursts in to this community and does something that is manifestly good, restoring this lame man to full capability. It's a wonderful thing to behold. But do you see how people react? Do you see how people react to Paul and Barnabas? "Oh, it's great. Aren't you wonderful, Paul and Barnabas?" So wonderful that they make them gods. They think that they are gods. They treat them like they are gods. And the point, I think, here is that for Paul and Barnabas, they don't want that amazing healing to point to them as if they are gods. They want the healing, that kindness, that goodness of God that is shown in the layman's life to point to God. And so many times what we do, with the kindness and the goodness that we exhibit or want to exhibit is to be seen by others, to be appreciated by others, to look good in the eyes of others. That can be such a powerful driver for us. We want to look good. I love Adrian Plass. I've been reading during lockdown. One of the books I've been reading is this book by Adrian Plass, Looking Good, Being Bad. It's all about followers of Jesus who want to show off. And one of the things he writes about is a chap called Darley Jameson. And Darley does this. Darley has it's a fictional book. It's probably based on real people. But he talks about Darley Jameson, who uses a ploy to try and look good before other people. So whenever someone comes to visit, someone comes to his guest bedroom and in his sitting room, they find books that had apparently been personally signed by the authors. And Adrian Plass writes, a copy of Understanding the Bible, for instance, published by John Stott in 2003, was inscribed on the title page with this handwritten message: To Darley, my mentor and friend, with grateful thanks yet again for your patient and untiring assistance. This book is really half yours. All my love, Stotty. Or in a copy of Basic Christianity, a volume published 7 years earlier in 1996, Stott appeared to have written the words, My very best to you, Darley, in appreciation of all those long afternoons and evenings that we spent putting this stuff together. What a privilege it was to sit at your feet. I shall always be thankful for your generosity and humility. My name is on the front cover, but your heart and mind are on every page. Ever yours, Stotty. We all want to look good, don't we? Christians, we want to look good because we've got associations with well-known Christian people like John Stott. But we all can be guilty of that. It's very easy for us to do things because we want to be seen to do stuff. And we want the glory to go to us. I had an experience recently where I was invited to do some good. And was involved in a group that was communicating with one another and invited to do some good. And I thought, well, it's important that we do some good. But I was very mindful of what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful about what you do in public, because it might get you into trouble. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. Matthew 6 says this: Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So I'm involved in this group, and they were trying to do some good, and everybody was communicating. Once they'd done the good thing, everybody got to see it because everybody was putting on WhatsApp, I've done the good thing. I've now done that good thing. And everybody could see that they'd done the good thing. But Jesus says, you don't do stuff, you don't do good stuff, you don't do acts of kindness in order that you are seen. Do you know why? It's because it's not about us. It's not about us being good. Just, we can get locked into wanting to be seen to be good. So I'm wrestling with the whole business about not wanting to be seen. And then I'm realizing I'm judging other people because they want to be seen. So I'm in the wrong for that because I'm judging others because they want to be seen. It's a human thing to want to be seen to be doing good. It's a very human thing. But it's not good. It's not healthy. You see, for Christians, our call is to be kind and to be good, and so that God is given the glory. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And that's the second thing that we might pick up on this morning. If it's not about us, if it's about Jesus, listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So do you remember in Lystra and Derbe, the apostles talking about the kindness of God shown in creation, that everything we have comes from him? Very great, very important stuff to realise that. But here, Paul's writing and saying, we've seen supremely the kindness of God revealed in Jesus, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful image. Where do we see the kindness of God most explicitly And perfectly shown, it's in the sending of his son Jesus into the world. Jesus giving up the glory of heaven to come onto earth and living a human life. That is God's greatest kindness to us. So one of the greatest kindnesses we can do, and we've talked a little bit about random acts of kindness and shown videos and stuff, and of course we should do that because all of that points to him. But one of the greatest kindnesses we can do to those around us, to our family, to our friends, to our colleagues, is to tell them, to let them know that God loves them and has shown that love for them by sending his son Jesus. And when we don't confess that with our lips and with our lives, then there is something a little bit lacking. You know, it used to be, it's a big thing to talk about, you know, preaching the gospel and use words if you have to. And we've gone so far, you know, we live good lives and we do good things and that will be enough. But actually, we have to own up and we have to point to Jesus because it's all about Jesus. If it's not all about us, it's all about Jesus. It's him that we want to proclaim. It's him that we want both to know, but for others to know as well. So that's the second thing. It's not all about us. If it becomes all about us, then there's something not quite right. But it is all about Jesus. And here's the last thing that we might pick up on this morning. It comes from Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 to 8. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These are excellent and profitable for everyone. So again, in Titus, we're getting this picture, the kindness and love of God appearing. Jesus appearing, he saved us. That's where we see kindness most supremely evidenced in the history of humanity. Some people will just say, well, Jesus was simply a good man. But the Bible tells us he was that, but he was so much more than that. He's our Saviour who alone can save. And when we look at this passage, what we see very clearly is that it's all about salvation. If it's not about us, it's all about Jesus. Ultimately, it's about transformation of us as people. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So we don't do good simply because we're wanting to be seen to be good. We do good because the Holy Spirit comes into us, fills us. We have the presence of God in us, working in us, transforming us into the people that the Lord wants us to be. And so that the idea of the fruit of the Spirit that is talked about in Galatians, in that verse from Galatians 5, doesn't come from us. It's not self-generated. These things are not simply that we are do-gooders. They come because the Spirit of God is living in us, causing us to live lives that are full of God, the life of God made manifest in the world. Now, it's not always easy to do that. Some of us are self-centered. Some of us do stuff because we want to be seen to be doing stuff. Some of us show off with what we can do and look at the good that I'm doing. And we can be careful about that. We ought to be careful about that. But if we are doing no good, if we are not kind to one another, then there are real problems with the way that we're following Jesus. You know, there will be people in your life that are extremely, excruciatingly annoying. I don't think that would just be me that would experience that. There will be people that you find awkward and annoying. And I wonder what your response to them is. when people are annoying to you. I wonder how you deal with that, how you interact with them. And the thing, one of the things I've been thinking about this week is, how do I respond when people are annoying by the stuff that they say and the stuff that they do? Maybe even this morning you've had people annoying you. And that's difficult. But what do you do? I wonder whether one of the responses that we ask, we invite the Holy Spirit to invoke in us and to cause in us, is to respond with kindness. When people are difficult and awkward and painful by what they say and what they do, to respond with kindness. I'm not saying let people walk all over you. I'm not saying let people have their own way when that way is maybe not the best way. But I am saying don't lash out. Don't lash out with your tongue, with the words that you use, but try to be kind and generous. One of the great difficulties we have, I think, in church life, in general church life, this is born of a little bit of experience, a few years of experience, is control. You know, we want to control everything and anything to do with church life. We want to control it, and we want to keep everything close in. Now, there are some things that people have given responsibilities for, are given responsibilities for. They have to have that. They have to take responsibility and run with it. That is their place. But actually, sometimes we see things and we hold on to them because we want to be seen to be doing them. And that's, I think, not always very helpful, either for the person or for the body of Christ. So we need to find ways of dealing with that. When we see it rising up in church life, we need to be honest, and we need to say, look, I'm not sure that we're handling that particularly well. We need to maybe have a gentler touch. We'll think about gentleness in the coming weeks as one of the fruit of the Spirit. But I wonder how we are kind to one another. What kindness isn't just about doing stuff for one another. Goodness isn't just about that. It's about how we respect one another, how we honour one another, how we listen to one another, and how we react to one another. Can we pray today that the Holy Spirit will so fill us that we don't react with anger, but that we act with generosity, with kindness, and with goodness? Why? Because that is how God has treated us. He treated us with kindness and goodness, even though we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved with all kinds of passions and pleasures. How did he handle us? How did he approach us? Even though we were screwed up and went our own way and did our own thing, how did God approach and handle us? With kindness. Because the kindness and love of our God and our Saviour appeared. God, the Lord, does that for me and does that for you. We can only do that for one another. May the Lord help us to be kind and to be good to one another and to those around us and to those that we meet. Speak well to others in the shops this week. Take an interest and be kind to the shop workers who are looking after you and serving you. Be kind to those people that deliver stuff to your door this week by what you say and how you treat them. Smile at people when you walk past them in the street. If they've got a mask on, that's a wee bit difficult. Wear a visor instead. Be kind, be good, for that is the way of Jesus and it's the way of the people of God. Amen.